the only name that we can find salvation. Thank you, dear Lord, for your name. There is life, there is healing comes by meditating on your name. Hear our prayer and hear our worship this Sabbath. We ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts and use us, Lord, in a special way that your word will be shared and preached and be heard according to your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You may have remembered the story about this young man named Pat Tillman, a professional football player, played for the Arizona Cardinals team. He walked away from the $3.2 million contract offered to him so that he would continue to play professional football for the NFL. He rejected the offer, and when the national media heard about it, they rushed and interviewed him and asked, why did he reject the $3.2 million contract? They asked him also, what's the inspiration? What makes him leave his career, a professional football player in the NFL, to join the Army Special Force Ranger? The response of this young man said, this country has been so good to him and to other people, gives him the opportunity and the ability and the resources to success in life. This country gives him protections and freedom that we all, and most often we take advantage of. He continued to respond and told the media, saying, a lot of his family has gone and fought in wars, and yet he has done nothing about it. Pat Tillman was inspired what happened to the 9/11 attack on America. According to him, his country called for him. So he decided to walk away from the $3.2 million and join the military. Dave McInnes, the head coach, former head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, said this word, Pat knew his purpose in life. He proudly walked away from a career in football to a greater calling, selfless service, calling to serve God and country. Sermon this morning, I entitled it, what will be your best response to the amazing grace, the amazing love of God has shown to us? What would be your best offer? What would be your best to give to God in view of His great mercy, His saving grace that comes through righteousness by faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? The essence of the appeal of the Apostle Paul to the Gentile Christians and the Jewish believers in chapter 12 is that, what would you do with your life since God has saved you by grace through faith in righteousness in Jesus Christ? What would be your response to God? Some scholars seem to suggest that the book of Romans is being summarized in two major themes. Chapter 1 to chapter 11 can be summarized with this major thought. We are all sinners saved by grace, not by our works, of which it could turn into our self-righteousness, but we are saved by grace through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then the second part of the Romans, chapter 12 to the end of the chapter, is an appeal of the Apostle Paul to the Christian in the church in Rome, challenge them. What will be your response to God who has shown you mercy and grace? What would you do about it? The appeal of Paul in chapter 12 posed the questions. In other words, what would you do with your life since God has saved you from grace, by grace, through faith? That's the important questions I would like to pursue from this chapter 12. How would you live your life to make it count worthy of God's grace? How would you live your life? One author suggests there are three things we could do with our life. First, we can waste our life. You can waste your life. I can waste my life. And those who waste their life live with an idea that don't care attitude. I don't care what's happening. Why should I care? And a classic example of those who waste their life. You remember the story of the prodigal son. He urged his father, give me my inheritance. It's time for me to leave this place. So he went to the far distant place and he wasted all his inheritance. Drinking, immorality, life, party, and he found himself wasted on the streets. Other people, they live their life. They just live life. They just live their life. They go to school, find themselves a career, get married, raise a family, retired and die. They just live life. They take life one day at a time. And there are other people, they invest their life. And the classic examples of the people who invest their life is found in Matthew 25. Matthew 25 verse 15. You may remember the parables of the master who gives away talents to his servants. He gave 5 talents to one servant and he went out, invested, came back with what? With 5 more talents. He gave 2 talents to another servant. He went out, invested, came back with what? The other 2 talents. He gave 1 talent one servant. He didn't leave the talent. He didn't invest it. But he what? He wasted. How did he waste it? He hid the talent. And the master said, I don't like this kind of servants. And he took the servant and take it and gave it to the one that had five talents. So there are three things we can do with our lives. You can waste your life. You can just live your life. Or we can invest our lives. You can invest your lives. Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul makes an appeal to the Christian believers that they need to invest their lives to make it count worthy for God who has saved them by grace. How would you make your life count worthy of God's grace? Chapter 12, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. My friend, this morning, the Apostle Paul suggests to Christians, the church in Rome, they need to invest their lives as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. To invest your life as a living sacrifice to God, it requires us to become a risk takers of faith. And this is how we can make our life count worthy and gracious. You see, the Old Testament principle regarding the way people offer worship, offer sacrifice in the Old Testament, the sinner would find a blameless animal and offer that animal as a substitute for his sins. The sinner will examine the animal for any sickness, for any defect, any abnormality. The animals must be perfect and free of any defect. Then the sinners would take the substitute animal to the temple and he will slaughter the animal in the presence of the priest. To offer a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin, the life of a substitute animal would be at risk in the hands of the sinner before he takes the life of the animal. You see, my family, when Jesus Christ offered himself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, he took the risk to become a substitute for the sins of the world. Jesus humbled himself, make himself nothing by taking upon himself the very nature of man. Did you know Jesus took the risk of faith to become obedient to death, even death to the cross? Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. So to invest your life as a living sacrifice, you must become a risk taker of faith. A risk stages of faith requires faith, because you will be always living on the edge. You may remember the story of Daniel. Daniel was a risk taker of faith. He was told not to pray to his God in heaven. But Daniel opened the door facing toward Jerusalem, and he prayed how many times? 3 times. He was a risk taker. He was not afraid of death's degree. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, but the mighty hands of God spared Daniel from the mouth of the lions. The risk takers always keep a sacrifice. To invest our lives as a living sacrifice required, we must become a risk takers of faith. Jesus took the risk to humble himself and make himself nothing. He took the risk to become a sinner of the world. He took the risk to become obedient to death, even death to the cross. To become a risk taker of faith, we must be willing to live life on the edge. Most successful people in life are the risk takers. They live on the edge. They seem to make sacrifice. My question for us this morning: have you ever made any sacrifice to make your life count worthy of God? Have you taken a risk lately? Bad children walk away from the $3.2 million contract. He joined the Army Rangers Special Force that paid him less, much lesser than he used to earn. He was killed from a friendly fire after joining the armed force within 2 years. Why was that? Was that a sacrifice? Was that a risk taker? Or was that he lives on the edge? Jesus Christ always spent time on his relationship with his Father to renew his faith. As Jesus was taking the risk to die for the sins of the world on the cross of Calvary, he prayed to the Father at the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. There you will find the prayer of Jesus. Jesus said to the Father, "My Father, if there is any other way, take this cup away from me. But let not my will, but let thy will be what? Be done." Jesus sacrifice wholly pleases you. To make our life count worthy of a living sacrifice, as a living sacrifice, we must become risk takers of faith. Because God has saved us by grace through faith in the righteousness of Jesus. That's the appeal of Paul to the Christians of the Church of Rome. What would you do with your life? What would you do with your life since God has saved us by grace? What would be your response? Paul suggests, invest your life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. How would we risk our life? How can we live our life as a living sacrifice? Do you remember the story of Gideon? Gideon was a risk taker. When God came to Gideon, he said to him, "You, the mighty man of valor." Gideon said, "Me?" God said, "You. Take up your shofar, the trumpet, blow it, call the people. I want them to go and fight the battle." You know the story. Gideon blew the shofar, the horns, the trumpet made of the horns of a lamb. Thousand people respond to the call. God said, "Gideon, there are too many of them." Gideon said, "God, how can you say that too many of them, 32,000 compared to 600,000 of the enemy?" God said to Gideon, "Too many. Tell them whoever has fear, go home." 20,000 went home. It's about 10,000 remained. God said to Gideon, "Too many of them." Gideon said to God, "How could that be?" You see, when we respond to God as a living sacrifice, God always expects us to be a risk taker. God said to Gideon, "Take them to the river. Whoever jumped in the river and drink, set them aside. And whoever drink from the hands and look alert for the war, set them aside." Gideon counts them. How many that was just drinking like dogs? How many of them? 300. My family, this morning, how would you live your life to make it count worthy of God's grace? God respects our response. To live our life as a living sacrifice, willing to take the risk, live on the edge, because God can perform miracles saving, amazing grace. The 300 was able to defeat and confuse because God used the 300 risk taker who was willing to live their life as a living sacrifice for God. That's the appeal of Paul to the Christians. How would you live your life? Invest it as a living sacrifice, holy, pleases to God. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. How would you make your life count worthy of God? Verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. How would you make your life count worthy of God's grace? Invest your mind to be transformed and renewed by the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. We want to live our lives, enjoy the celebrations of God's grace in our lives. We need to invest our mind to be transformed and renewed by the infilling of the Holy Spirit so we may know the will of God. According to Paul, no one knows the mind of God. No one could understand the will of God. According to Paul, if you turn your scripture to Romans chapter 11, I will show it to you. No one knows the mind, no one knows the heart of God. Romans chapter 11. Verse 33 and 34. You find it? I will read it for us. Oh, the depth and the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? No one knows the mind, the heart, the wisdom of God. Only the Holy Spirit does. Only the Holy Spirit knows the secret in the heart and the mind. First Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10 to 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 12 shows us that nobody knows the mind and the heart of God except the Holy Spirit. If you find it, I will read it for us. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given unto us. Paul makes an appeal to the Christians in Rome to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. Paul suggests they must invest, they must give their mind to be transformed by the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit will make known unto us the will and the intents and the purpose of God for you and me. When we invest our mind to be transformed and renewed by the infilling power of the Holy Spirit, we become the overtakers of the lust of the flesh. We would become the overtakers of the worldly pleasures that around us. That's the appeal of Paul. Paul says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we will know the will of God. It's good. It's perfect. And how does the Holy Spirit renew our mind? We may ask. How does the Holy Spirit renew our mind? Transform our hearts. It's interesting as I meditate and read on the step to Christ. A powerful reading. If you read that book and read and read and read, it feels fresh all the time. Here's what the Step to Christ, page 27. The warfare against the self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. The healing of the self, surrendering all to the will of God, requires a struggle. But the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness. My friend, this morning, Paul appealed to the Christians. In order for us to renew our heart, to be transformed, the self must be defeated by the Holy Spirit. The lust of the flesh must be surrendered to God before the renewal and the transforming in holiness take place. When the self is defeated, when the flesh is surrendered to the Holy Spirit, our mind will become and be transformed. We will become overtakers of a deceitful heart. When we surrender our heart and our soul completely to God, that renewal in holiness will take place. We will become overtakers of the deceitful hearts. How would you live your life? Count worthy of grace of God? Pause the text. Invest your mind to be renewed by the infilling. Mr. and Mrs. Jones received a letter from their daughter, Julie. She's a college freshman. She wrote a letter to her mother, a letter to her parents, update them on what's happening. Here's the letter. Dear Mom and Dad, I just thought I will drop you a note to let you know what's going on with me. I'm falling in love with a guy named Blaze. He's really a neat guy. But he quit school a few years ago to get married. That didn't work out. So he got a divorce last year. We have been going out for several weeks. And we were thinking about getting married in the fall. Until then, I've decided to move into the apartment. I think I might be pregnant. Oh yeah, I dropped out of school last week so that I could get a job to help support Blaze. I'm hoping I'll be able to finish college after we get married. Mom and Dad, I just want you to know everything I've written so far is a lie. None is true. But Mom and Dad, the truth is that I got a C in French and a D in maths. And it's also true that I need some money. Could you please send me $100 bill? Thanks. Love, Julie. Julie just wrote a note to shield the truth that she failed her classes. That is the example of the deceitful work of the human heart. But Paul said to the Christians, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is. Good, pleasing. My family, this morning, when we invest our mind, our heart, to be renewed and to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will become overtakers of the defeatful, deceitful hearts. Self will be defeated. The flesh will be surrendered. The renewal into holiness will be seen in our lives. So how would we make our life count worthy of God's grace? According to Paul, when we invest our lives as a living sacrifice to God, we will become a risk taker of faith. Have no fear. You will live life on the edge, knowing that God will use us as a living sacrifice that brings His loving grace to others. Not only that we need to invest our life as a living sacrifice to God, but Paul suggests we need to invest our mind to be transformed and be renewed by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You will become an overtakers of the deceitful heart. Self will be defeated. Flesh will be surrendered. And your life will be count worthy of God's amazingness. What a challenge and what an appeal to all Christians. What are we going to do with our lives, knowing that God has saved us from the blood of Jesus Christ? What would be our response? life as a living sacrifice to God. Invest your mind in the renewing of the Holy Spirit so we may know the real God. He's good, He's perfect, and He's merciful. I pray this morning, may the word of Paul remind unto us we have a responsibility as Christians, as believers saved by Christ. Our responsibility is to invest our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Be used by the Holy Spirit so that we may know the perfect will of God to us. Let's pray. Precious Father God in heaven, You have saved us by grace through faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have nothing to do to earn the righteousness, but You just appeal unto us what we're going to do with our lives. Through Your Apostle Paul's reminders to us, You just want us to live our life as a living sacrifice. Just like Jesus, He took the risk, humbled Himself, took the form of a man, obedient to death, even death to the cross. He took the risk for us. He even reminded us to us, we must be transformed in the renewing of our mind by experience the infilling power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Lord, help us to live our life as an investment to glorify Your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, the one who saved us.